watch every Bucks road game with me at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton.
When you have a disaster in your home, mold, storm damage, fire, flood, whatever it might be, time is of the essence and your first phone call is to someone you can trust, and that's Florida's Elite Restoration. They put people first. They care. We know them. Ira Kaufman knows them. Insurance companies, they don't necessarily care. You need some help with that process. They will eliminate the stress at Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your quick path to getting things done right. And they're going to come out to you immediately with an assessment of your situation, absolutely free. And they'll be happy to start working with your insurance company and preventing the loss immediately. Get everything done. Take the pictures, the documentation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We'll talk more about them later.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Yay, yay. Yeah.
Bucks Rams Sunday. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here, and we're fired up, Ira. We got a big game. They're all big, but we got an extra big game, and all the fun today is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, 61 years, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. You can shop now at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, how are you? Are you fired up for this game? I know you got a big phone call coming up. You've got, you're working all the angles. What's going on?
Stevie, I'm starting to really think that the 2021 season is upon us. And by that, I mean, I knew it started on a Thursday night against America's team. But guys, when you really look at it, I don't think the Bucks took the Cowboys and Falcons that seriously. I don't care what Arian says. And Tom Brady talking up the Atlanta defense like it's the 76 Steelers. He's going to do that every week. But here comes, you know, a trip out west. Brady's never played in L.A., against a quality opponent. And then, of course, we know what's coming up the week after that. People are already talking about it. I think this guy, Tom Curran, he's a big guy up in New England. I think he's already in Tampa. I'm serious. I think he's already in Tampa. Of course, he's already on the Brady track. But first things first, Steve, this is an NFC championship contender in the Rams. Beat the Bucks last year, fair and square. Nothing fluky about the game. I'll tell you one thing, Lee. Not because I got this guy in the fantasy league, but I do. This guy, Cooper Kupp, Lee, he's the real deal. This guy is very good after the catch. So first, you got to try to stop him catching the ball. And then if he catches it, you got to put him on the ground. And Lee, it's not going to be easy. We'll see if Mr. Carlton Davis shadows this guy and lets the rest deal with Robert Woods, but I'm paying special attention to number 10, Cooper Kupp.
Well, unless there's Bucks fans out there that are fully myopic, they ought to know about Cooper Kupp because he burned our ass last year in Monday Night Football. He was probably the difference in the game.
And, of course, you know, on the other side, you know, they've got Mr. Donald.
He did nothing last year. Nothing.
You're right, Lee. In a sense, you're right, and that's even scarier. Because the Bucks lost the game.
Because of Cooper Kupp.
And Goff threw a bunch of passes. And, guys, is anybody going to be surprised if Matt Stafford throws the ball 40, 45 times? The Rams are trying for balance. They're trying. It sounds good. But I just think the Bucks every week are going to face 40, 45, 50 passes. That's the way it's going to be, gentlemen.
I'm just curious. Who said the Rams are trying for balance? I don't believe that.
Well, I think that's one of the things that Sean McVay has prided himself on.
From what I have read, this is just me. I think balanced football is a step above leaders. You know, it's bad sports radio. You go with your strength. You don't go with your strength, you're irresponsible.
Yeah, it's
ever since Cam Akers got hurt, I don't think they were like, oh my gosh, we've got to pound the ball 50% of the time. Or, you know, I don't believe that, especially when you get the investment in Stafford. I just don't. Maybe it's just me. So, I mean, if you have a team where every weapon is equal value, equal talent, okay, fine. We'll balance them. But there's no defense that is balanced. There's no offense that is balanced. I don't think the Rams are. I think they're a pass-first offense. I really do.
Actually, Leah, so far, they've been run first. They're 27th in the league in pass.
Wow, with Matt Stafford and a bunch of scrubs?
27th in the league in pass attempts this year. They're 16th in rushing attempts. And, yeah, they've been pounding the football. And that's, cool. I mean, their big plays obviously have been coming through the passing game. Like most teams, they haven't been lighting it up on the ground, but they've been trying to stay balanced, like Ira was saying, and there's definitely been a lot of that.
I love it, man, because guess who stops the run?
Yeah, and Steve, that might change big time on Sunday, because I believe I'm right about this, Steven. The Bucks through 2 weeks have faced more passes than any other defense in this league. Mm. And I think it's by a sizable margin. So, you know, whether that's a pattern, you know, like he says, what are you going to do? Beat your head against the wall? If you don't have Dalvin Cook, who I think is the only guy that we remember that really had some success running the ball against the Bucks, if you don't have that, you know, why not throw a ball 50 times? Why not?
You know, you have to expect everybody to pass the ball against the Bucks, because that's the way to beat him. And even Bruce Arians was talking today on ESPN Radio, Ira. He was talking about how, you know, these teams so far, they're throwing a higher percentage of empty sets out there and getting the ball out quickly. And that's the formula right now, and they have to adjust. And that's sort of, he sounded sort of like that's what they expect, and they should expect that, Ira. So that brings me to the Rams. And, you know, they've got Robert Woods, they've got Van Jefferson, and they've got a guy who may be the best number four receiver in the NFL, who they claim they have to get involved more. They haven't been throwing him the ball, but he's there and he's healthy, and apparently he's hasn't really lost a step. That's DeSean Jackson, who, you know, Ira, loves these big games or these high-profile games. He seems to give a little bit extra. Even when he was with the Bucks, those were the days that he would actually say, hey, I'll return punts, you know, and he would go out there on if it was a night game and he'll, you know, to show off. Maybe he's got some bad blood toward the Bucks. But, you know, as a fourth receiver, if the Rams spread it out and don't try to run the ball, I'm not sure who the fourth option is who can hang with DeSean Jackson. If that's Ross Cockrell, we might have a problem.
Yeah. If it's really DeSean Jackson, Steve, I mean, let's be honest, he just hasn't done very much since, like, the opener, what is it, the 2018 season?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when Fitzpatrick was throwing him the football. He's done very little, Steve, so I understand your point. There is a chip on his shoulder about the Bucks, although there shouldn't be, because I think he failed them more than they failed him, in retrospect, I think. He had every chance under Dirk Cutter to flourish, and he didn't do it. He wasn't available, he wasn't effective, especially after that season opener in New Orleans, where you said, oh, this is the old DeSean Jackson. So, Steve, I know what you're talking about. Lee, one thing I think that Todd Bowles has to make an adjustment is, look, if this is the game plan, and it looks like it is, three-step drops, get the ball out quick, throw 50 passes, Lee, there's no reason to play 10 yards off the receiver. I mean, why play into their hands?
True.
You know, I guess the downside is you're worried about, you know, you get tight coverage and you miss a little reroute on a guy, and all of a sudden he's past you and it's 6 points. But, Lee, in retrospect, they're getting nitpicked to death through 2 weeks, and I think that has Bowles' attention.
Yeah, I mean, it says something that Bruce Arians continues to say they're in the mix for Richard Sherman. Yeah, Richard Sherman's still out there. I don't know if that's some kind of weird motivational tactic to Ross Cockrell or Jamal Dean. You know, you better light up somebody or otherwise I'll bring Sherman. And I don't know why he keeps talking about that unless he's it's actually true. I really don't know. So I find that interesting. And I have confidence Bowles will figure it out. May not be this week, but he'll figure it out. He figured out how to use his defense the first year he was here. He figured out how to use the defense last year, and they were dynamite in the postseason. Should we look at 40 points from the Bucks to get rid of the game or win?
I think you're on the right track, Lee.
Ira, what do you make of Todd Bowles saying the other day, talking to Buccaneers radio, he was asked about, you know, the sort of the stock question. Hey, you know, are you feeling the advantage of bringing everybody back and the coaches back and continuity on your defense? And he said he doesn't think it's paid off yet in the back line, in the back seven. He said he felt it's paid off on the defensive line big time from the stunts that they're running and everything else. But he said from the back seven, not just the secondary, and he was including Lavonte David and Devin White in there in pass coverage. He said that they still have a ways to go and that they're making errors at times that are errors of inconsistency. And he said, you can't pick up where you started off last year. And he said, the players are starting to understand that now, starting to understand that you can't pick up where it was last year. I thought that was pretty telling of him to say. And, you know, he's confident, but he basically said, you know, we're just not there yet. And we're not where we were in the playoffs last year. What do you make of that?
It's a little puzzling, Steve. It's a little puzzling because the word you haven't mentioned, which I think has been a problem in the back seven through 2 weeks, is communication. Lee, I think there's been too many breakdowns. I don't think they're working as a smooth and efficient unit. And there's been some breakdowns along the way. And guys are too wide open. Lee, it's too easy. It was too easy for Matt Ryan. It was too easy for Prescott on many occasions in these first two games. It's a little surprisingly, I mean, there's not a lot of changes. You know, Mike Edwards was getting some more snaps, but Mike Edwards certainly ain't screwing up, you wouldn't think. And you said something the other day, Lee, and I think it could rear its head Sunday afternoon in the late out at SoFi Stadium, which is supposed to be spectacular. Ross Cockrell, who was a darling, a little bit of a darling in the postseason, a little bit of a darling during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, he looks a little lost.
Yeah.
He looks a little lost. And if the Rams do spread things out and maybe bring DeSean Jackson out on the field, they'll go 3-4 wide, Ross Cockrell's going to have to play. Lee, Bunting's not playing this week, and they need a good game out of him. He's getting turned around. He's not looking at the ball. You're right. He got beat on the goal line last week for a touchdown. Didn't look very good on that play. So, you know, he is what he is, right, Lee? I mean, let's not, you know, he's not vintage Richard Sherman from 2013. It's not. And we shouldn't think he is, but he's got to play a little better than he's shown so far.
I agree with you. He's got to step things up here. Here's just an eyeball observation. I hesitate to use the word communication because I think coaches use that as a euphemism. You know, it's like empty, you know, there's me again. It's an empty word that's a kind of a catch-all, although we know that a couple years ago, quite literally communication was the issue when guys couldn't understand the linebacker who was calling the plays. That's communication. Communication. But at any rate, this is just eyeball observation. I love the guy. It seems to me there's been a couple plays where Antoine Winfield got caught with his pants down. And I'm not slamming the guy. That's just an observation. And I think all of us, I'm just as guilty as the next guy. I think all of us sometimes forget that all offseason, NFL coaches have X amount of months and weeks to pore over Bucs tape, to find a way, look for a crack in the armor, find something where they can take advantage of them. Perhaps that's what we're seeing right now, that coaches have gone over the tape 20 games, and they might have seen something that wasn't utilized last year, and they're trying to take advantage of that. Maybe they had some success. And we all know in the NFL that, you know, success breeds copycatism.
Sage, one thing on the communication, Bowles said that Jordan Whitehead is the number one communicator in the back. He's sort of the glue back there. He expected the communication and some of the little finer points that the fans wouldn't see to get better as now that he's acclimated and is probably going to be ready to play a whole game. So maybe that's something, maybe it's nothing. You know, it's surely not going to turn everything around or fix missed tackles and all that. Ira, fans need to know that they can watch the game with you, Bucks Rams, at Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. The Sage himself will be outside in their gorgeous seating there. It's fully covered. There are fans, great lighting, great views, great sound, great Wi-Fi. Plus, there's the whole indoor tap room if you don't want to sit outdoors. It's comfortable. The food is A+. Florida's best craft beer is on tap. So many choices. You can find them all at bigstormbrewery.com. Ira's going to have some gift cards to give away to fans. So you see the Sage, say, hey, you still got a gift card for me? It's not going to be to CVS. It's going to be to Big Storm Brewery. So you can get some great food on the house or try a new beer that you haven't had before. Ira, are you fired up to greet the fans and to stuff your face?
Stevie, I'm going to be there a little early, as usual. You know, I don't show up, like some of these Hollywood celebrities at the Cannes Film Festival just when the movie's starting. I show up early. And Lee, I've got a goal for 2021. I think it's reachable, just like Brady with the 55 touchdown passes. I think it's reasonable. By the end of the year, including the playoffs, I think I could try everything on the Big Storm menu. Every freaking item. And I'm going to start in earnest this Sunday. Maybe an appetizer and an entree and a beer. And if I keep that up for 8 games and then maybe more in the postseason, I think they got nine road games this year. I think I can cover this whole menu, Lee. By the end of the year, I will be an expert on the Big Storm menu. And by the way, I've delved into it quite a bit through the years, and I've never been disappointed. They know what they're doing over there at Big Storm.
Well, of course, if you can't meet Ira, that's fine. Just load up on Big Storm beer now in Publix, and you can find where it is in your neighborhood at bigstormbrewery.com. Punch in your zip code. Tap rooms in Odessa, Cape Coral, and at Amway Center in Orlando, accessible 7 days a week. Ira, Jason Pierre-Paul is apparently going to be out. No Jason Pierre-Paul in this game. He's got a shoulder injury and coming off a hand injury, and he clearly flew for some sort of second opinion, apparently in Colorado, and it doesn't bode well. Now, we don't know for sure that he's out, but let's, for the sake of the podcast, say that he's out. Do you view this as a major loss in this game? Is this a huge problem? Is this signaling maybe the breakdown of JPP, whose body has exceeded all expectations in a lot of ways to get to this point? What do you make of it?
Guys, I think there's two ways you can look at it. One, if it's vintage JP, it's a major loss, especially with a team with Matt Stafford now instead of Jared Goff. I think we'd all agree that I think Stafford's the better quarterback. Certainly Sean McVay feels that way. But Lee, there's another way to look at it. And we always tell the harsh truths and the realities on this podcast. JPP was not effectively the first 2 weeks. He was not. He was playing hurt, and now it's confirmed that he was playing hurt. Didn't do very much on the field, Lee. So given that, and even if he plays Sunday, he's going to be playing hurt. And like Steve says, it's unlikely he'll play. Lee, you got to wonder just exactly how much of a loss is it given, his ineffective play in 2021. Now, I don't like to see Joe Tryon thrown into the fire, Lee. You and I like to see him worked into the snaps. But here's another shot for Nelson, another shot for Tryon. It would help if Shaq Barrett is at his best. So, Lee, you can look at it two different ways, but you got to remember, Jason Pierre-Paul, Lee, was not playing good football those first two games. I think he's got every reason to have an excuse, but those are the facts.
He was ineffective, but I think he's got a fair excuse. You're a defensive lineman, your shoulder is messed up, you're not going to be very effective. Right. Or should I say outside linebacker. So I can't really criticize JPP for being ineffective because he was ineffective due to an injury. So you take away that injury, but hopefully his rest, that's what the doctor prescribed, a second opinion, get some rest and it'll clear up. So Hopefully, that's all I think. I can never criticize a player for playing less than 100% if he's gutting it out with an injury. Now, you could argue why is he out there. Okay, fine. Well, that's also on the coaching staff, too. You know, a player, if he's not effective, playing hurt or not, get him off the field. And right. So I can never criticize a player for trying to play. A lot of guys out there that won't even, you know, oh my gosh, I might get bruised. That's why a lot of people were so revolted when Ronald Jones stepped out of bounds, say, you're short of the first down. Like, what are you doing? It's a close game. You know, come on. Put JPP in Ronald Jones' shoes. JPP would have pulled over that linebacker, injury or no injury. If he's ineffective in the process of playing with an injury, then that's on the coaching staff to pull him off the field. But I can't criticize JPP for that. But I see what you're saying. He's been ineffective, injury, whatever the reason is. So, quote unquote, losing him, what are you losing? I see what you're saying there from a results-oriented standpoint. I think it's very fair to say, hey, JPP's 33. He's not a spring chicken. Not everybody's Tom Brady. I would not be surprised if sadly, this might be the beginning of the end because he just had a knee injury he overcame, and now he's got a shoulder injury. You know what? First game back, second game back.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. He is 32, and he's got the hand injury that he's been on. So, I mean, we'll wish him a speedy recovery, but I got to smack you around, Ira. I'm sorry. I can't go along with this. Can't do it, Ira. Just can't do it. The run defense has been stellar, and JPP has been on the field more than any outside linebacker, so I can't say he hasn't been playing the run, and the guys at $1 would tell you this whole defense revolves around playing the run. So that leads me to believe that Anthony Nelson's going to get the start. He's going to get more time than Tryon, and right. They've been sort of getting equal snaps here, and hopefully Nelson, who's good against the run, will be able to match whatever JP was doing or exceed it. But I can't say he wasn't doing anything. And Tryon, if you put him out there too much, they're going to try to expose him, maybe with some screens and things like that. And the Bucs haven't exactly chased down these screens too well. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they play it. But Tryon's going to get his shot. And hopefully this is his breakthrough game.
But if it wasn't JPP we were talking about, we'd probably say, this is a problem with the shoulder. Rest is probably not going to be the answer. But, Lee, we're dealing with a different type of cat here.
Yeah.
He is a physical freak. Lee, we know what he's overcome in the past. It's been remarkable. A couple of incidents that could have ended the careers of most players. He perseveres and excels. So I don't put anything past Jason Pierre-Paul, Lee, from a physical standpoint. His past shows that he earns the benefit of the doubt.
Got a heart of a lion. He really does. And, of course, he had that car accident, which would have ended many guys' careers, and he bounced back from that. So you could almost say, I think you could throw Levante David in. So if I want to use, bad sports radio metaphors, he's the heart and soul of the Bucs defense, him and Levante David.
Steve, you know where they might miss him acutely on Sunday if he doesn't play? As an emotional guy who gets the guys going. Maybe when things aren't going well.
Well, Ira, the best thing about a Bucs road game is that you sort of have a little more time to shop at Bill Curry Ford. If you have tickets to the Bucs games, you don't have to go to the game, and you can get to Bill Curry Ford on a Sunday and have a great experience. Or you could get there on Saturday or Friday or whenever, and don't forget to ask for General Manager Sean Sullivan and the Ira Kaufman discount and the personal service that Sean will provide. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Right there, you can click on About Us, and you can get Sean's email address, and you can shoot him any questions you have. I'm sitting in a 2017 Chevy Silverado. I hate this thing. How do I get out of it? This is what I can spend. He's going to work with you. He'll help you personally. Don't hesitate. GM Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford is your friend in the car business. Ira, we've got this game here, and your buddy Derek Brooks on Tampa 2. The Identity Tampa Bay, our video feature at JoeBucksFan.com. He, said something very interesting. It was just a little bit of a one-off. But we saw how the Bucs let Tom Brady get hit a handful of times on some of these blitzes. Ronald Jones crapping the bed on one blitz, and there were others that weren't blocked very well. Brooks sees that as a chink in the armor, is exactly what he called it. I'm a little worried about that because you can't just say, well, he'll block him next time. you know, they're going to try to make him block it next time. I think the Bucks are still committed to seeing if Rojo can snap out of this. Maybe that means we see more Giovanni Bernard, who's a better blocker, but he didn't block as well in the preseason, a little chance he got. I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe we see more of these heavy sets without Antonio Brown out there as an option. Maybe they go more with the extra linemen. What do you think?
I think it's overblown, Steve. I think it's overblown. They played the Cowboys. He threw 50 balls, Lee. 50. He didn't hit the deck. He was not sacked. Zero. Now, you know, the Cowboys don't have the purple people eaters and the fearsome foursome. I understand that. He was sacked three times by Atlanta. One was on a blown blitz assignment by Rojo, well documented, Lee. But there were many times, Lee, and I was at the game, many times that Brady had plenty of time to survey the field and go through his progressions. Now, the Falcons don't have Aaron Donald. Nobody's got Aaron Donald. But as you astutely pointed out, with the same starting five offensive linemen, the Bucks did a job on Aaron Donald last year. Now, the Rams still won the game, but Donald was not a compelling factor, Lee. He was not. He was handled. That doesn't mean I want Alex Kappa going against Aaron Donald with no help, and neither do you. But, you know, they're well aware of Aaron Donald's potential as a game wrecker. That's no surprise to anybody. I think the protection has been solid. I'll say this, Lee. I don't think Wirfs has played as well as he did so far as a rookie. But it's early. He hasn't been bad. But he set an incredible standard last year. And I don't think he's matched it yet. But I got confidence in Wirfs. He's the last guy I worry about. Donovan Smith's holding his own. He's been fine. I'm not overly worried about protection, Lee. I think it's been okay.
I agree. Now, is Brady hitting SmackDown once in a while? Sure. It's more acute of an issue when your quarterback is 44 and immobile. So I get all that. Now, I love our readers at JoeBucksFantan.com, and some of them come up with some really good stuff. Now, I'm going to say one of those in a quick moment here, but I want to thank you, the people that poured in to read JoeBucksFantan.com. Steve and I appreciate every last one of them, and I want to thank everybody for their support. But one of our readers tipped me off to this, and it's true. I looked it up.
Hey, Lee.
Take a guess.
Hey, Lee, I just want to say that I don't appreciate every last one of them. There's a few that really piss me off, so I just want to get that out there. But go ahead.
Well, they do too, but hey, they come to the site. You know, it all counts. Take a guess, Ira, who is one sack away from being the all-time most sacked quarterback in NFL history. Tom Brady.
Lee, I mean, the guy's played 21 years. What do you want from the guy? Lee, what do you want?
Number 15 on the list is a guy by the name of Matt Ryan. He hasn't played nearly as long as Brady, and he's played on some good teams. So basically, you know, in today's NFL, if you're going to drop back a pass, you're going to get beat up. A couple other guys that are in the top 25. Matt Stafford, brutal offensive line, more often than not. And a mobile quarterback by the name of Russell Wilson, who, there again, brutal offensive line. Even if you're mobile, if you drop back to pass, you're going to get hit.
Sage, I just wanted to point out that last year against the Rams, it was actually A.Q. Shipley starting at center who handled Aaron Donald, big surprise. And Ryan Jensen was at left guard. That was during the time when Ali Marpet was out with the concussion issue. So a little bit different look. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's worse. I don't know. But you know, Shipley at least is on the coaching staff now. He can give some extra tips if it comes down to that. And he had played Donald many times in the NFC West. But I don't know if that'll make any difference. I don't think it will. Sage, as we heard earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration, they are for contractors and air conditioning companies and plumbers. You know, so many of those businesses count on Florida's Elite Restoration, as well as consumers, to refer business to because they encounter these disasters all the time. And that's their first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration. So if you are a plumbing contractor, air conditioning contractor, property manager in the Tampa Bay area, Call Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration. He will help you out. He'll give you a free assessment of what his company can do for you and their great prices and their service as well. So remember that if you are in that category. Ira, we got to get to picks. I have a couple more things to hit you with, but let's get to your picks. I know you've said you think the Bucks can win this game. We'll let you go first unless you want to go last. You can pick the order. You are the Sage. How do we want to run it here? Sage, I want you to give me a score, and I want you to tell me why.
I will go last today, gentlemen.
You want me to go first or you want Lee up?
I want Lee up.
Okay. Well, you know, I heard this on a gambling podcast with Warren Sharp. He's got a new podcast out. Who doesn't have a podcast, Ira? And he's got a new podcast out. It's a Ringer podcast. It's very popular. Rams defense, you kind of hinted at it earlier, Ira. Rams defense has had trouble starting out the season. They've had trouble stopping offenses led by a couple of immortals known as Andy Dalton and Carson Wentz. And by the way, I think Carson Wentz is done. I really think he's done. He's seen his better days. He's done. Offenses led by these dynamic quarterbacks have moved the ball on the Rams. Now, it seems that Raheem Morris's defense, yes, Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator in Los Angeles, it seems Raheem Morris's defense is the old bend but don't break. And as Warren Sharp and his co-hosts were pointing out, that works fine when the quarterbacks you're facing are Andy Dalton and Carson Wentz. Tom Brady is a different animal. And as Warren Sharp's co-host pointed out, you get in the red zone, you got Mike Evans, you got Rob Gronkowski, the Rams only have one Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
Advantage Bucks. Given that the Bucks offense is humming, I mean, what, Antonio Brown had one catch, they put up 40-some points? I'm going to say the Bucks win on a Ryan Suckup field goal, 45-42.
That's like the game from 2019, right? That shootout in L.A., yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Jameis game when he went bananas. Yeah.
In Lee's ballpark here, in the sense I'm going to go Buccaneers 34, Rams 33. I don't think it'll be as much scoring as Lee thinks, but I think the Bucs defense is going to get lit up. I don't really have any evidence to think that it won't, frankly. And I think they're going to contend with a real road game here as far as noise and pressure and all that. And that should matter at least a little bit. But I have to go ride the 10-game winning streak, Ira. It's just that simple. 10-game winning streak. The offense knows it can score. And I think it'll do just enough. I'll take Brady over Matt Stafford, who hasn't exactly had a great big game history in his career.
I can't believe we're all picking the Bucks here, gentlemen. I'm going 31-24. I'll tell you who's not picking the Bucks, Mr. Derek Brooks. Yeah, he doesn't like this matchup. He likes the home team on Sunday. But I like what you guys are saying. We're not saying that they're going to hold the Rams to 10 points. We're not saying that. But we think they'll outscore the Rams. And that was a great point, Steve. There's only one Jalen Ramsey. And even if Antonio Brown doesn't play, you got Evans, Godwin, Gronkowski. This is a game Scotty Miller could make an impact. Maybe even a Tyler Johnson. Get some more snaps. I don't see the Rams defense getting the job done, Lee, even with Ramsey and Donald. So 31-24 Bucks. I thought one of us was going to pick the Rams, but we'll let Derek Brooks be the only holdout over there, Lee.
Well, I got one major question, Ira, about SoFi Stadium. Maybe you know about this with your NFL insiders. Given the knowledge of who owns SoFi Stadium,
yes,
do you get a break on concessions if you're a Sam's Club member?
You know, Lee, speaking of the owner of SoFi Stadium, Mr. Kroenke, there's a lawsuit going on, as there always is, about Kroenke making false statements in the move from St. Louis to Los Angeles. Probably nothing will come out of it, Lee. Most likely, nothing will come out of it. But I'll tell you this, Lee. If Kroenke goes back to St. Louis for any reason, a business meeting or whatever, he better not expect anybody to buy him a drink. You know that town well, and he's persona non grata right there.
Sage, let me throw one question at you, because it's philosophical and you are the sage. And the mere fact that we're talking about the Bucks running up the score like wildfire without Antonio Brown, we're not even questioning it. They're going to ring it up. They're going to win on the road. They don't need him. Does this make you believe that, or is it evidence that they could make a trade to add some defensive help and get rid of one of these premier weapons if it came to that and they felt they needed help, that they could take a name and pluck him out of the lineup and make a bold move later in the year?
I don't think a bold move is necessary unless they get hit with a flurry of injuries beyond what's already happened, or COVID wipes them out for a period of time. Lee, Richard Sherman, you know, that's not a bold move, but I think it might be a logical move. And I'll say this about Richard Sherman, Lee, watching him over the years. He is not a cornerback that gives a 10-yard cushion, Lee. He doesn't do that. He don't believe in that. He's right on your ass. And I think the Bucks need a little bit of that right now.
Well, you know, as far as Richard Sherman goes, what the Bucks could use, the thing that impresses me most about Richard Sherman is he's a very, very sharp guy, very smart guy, Stanford grad. One of the reasons why at one point, and you know, that's this past history, at one point he was the elite corner is because he's so smart. And another reason why he lasted as long as he did when his skills were starting to slide was he used his smarts. And I would love to have a guy like that in the Bucs secondary helping out, and not that they need help, but what I mean by that is, you know, Carlton Davis, Javale Dean, hey, you know, I played against this guy 4 or 5 times. He likes to do X, Y, and Z that maybe those guys don't know about. So I would love to have Sherman in that respect, almost like a second coach in the back, in the secondary, because he's just a smart guy. You know, that every little edge you can get makes a big difference.
It's like you, Ira. That's why we brought you in to coach us up and ride the bench, and you do a great job. Ira, two big games I got to get your opinion on here. Now, tonight, Thursday, Panthers against Houston. Now, Houston is starting the immortal Davis Mills, and this obviously looks like a tremendous opportunity for the Panthers to hit the road, catch a break, and open up 3-0 with a ferocious pass rush. And so there's that game I want your opinion on, and the state of the Panthers, and the game I'll be glued to on Sunday in the early afternoon is the Saints head up to the Patriots. And that's obviously a big game for both teams at 1-1. And Ira, I need some help. You know, things have changed. It looks like the odds makers are on to me. I cashed in last week with my bet of Jameis throwing over half an interception. And now that bet is available again, Ira, but the odds have diminished. Now my $100 wager only pays $146 if Jameis throws at least one interception. Should I go for that pick? And what do you think of the games?
I don't understand what Vegas is thinking. At the very worst, it's got to be even money that he's going to throw one pick. New England's got a complex defense. You're talking about Belichick here. You think you're getting one thing when you come to the line of scrimmage and before the ball snaps. It's totally different. If anybody's going to confuse Jameis Winston, it's going to be the New England defense that got Gilmore. He's a stud, and I still don't think New Orleans' weapons are very good. So, you know, Saints might win the game, Lee, because they got a pretty good defense of their own, and New England's offense isn't great. But they're not going to win because they're going to score 40 points against New England. Lee, will the real Saints stand up? I mean, they were tremendous against Green Bay, and they were horrible last week. Absolutely horrible. Did nothing. It was a complete reversal of fortune. They never had the ball. Just like Green Bay never had the ball. Against New Orleans, yeah. So I like New England in that game. I think the Saints are a mirage. I think that Green Bay game was a once-in-a-season game. You're not going to see that again. I think they're an 8 or 9 win team, the Saints, in my opinion, borderline playoff team. Bucks should win this division by 3 games, I think. And as far as Carolina, Lee, the D coordinator's doing a great job. I mean, that's a very young defense. Lee, you remember, and I believe it was the 2020 draft, they drafted all defense. All defense. They got this guy Burns out of Florida State. He's a good pass rusher. Sean Sullivan was salivating over him, you know, thinking about him in a Buck uniform. It didn't happen. And the guy's a pretty good player. So once again, Sean Sullivan knew what the hell he was talking about, as he usually does, whether it's football or cars. I don't think Houston's got the weapons to test Carolina's defense, Lee. I think Carolina wins the game on Thursday night, and I think New England beats New Orleans on Sunday.
A couple of things here, Ira. Tom Brady, we're hearing more and more about how happy he is. His trainer has spoken out. Bruce Arians was talking the other day, speaking on ESPN Radio, talking about how Brady is still, every single day, he's working with Jalen Darden, which, you know, we heard that in August, but to hear it in September is pretty stunning, considering the guy can't get on the field, and Brady's got plenty of weapons. What do you make of this, all the different things you're hearing about Brady? Do you think he's looking past this game in any way toward the extravaganza in New England the following week? Do you have any fresh feeling about Brady as we sit here today?
The Darden story is remarkable. I mean, Lee, it really is remarkable. This guy who's seen it all, who has nothing to prove, you know, he's 44 years old, and he's still reaching out to a guy who's barely getting any snaps, and he's doing it on a regular basis. I mean, and it really is unbelievable. Lee, if it was anybody but Brady, I think there'd be a little bit of concern about, you know, having one eye on the return to Foxborough, which people are calling it the biggest regular season NFL game in years, and they're already hyping it. Can you imagine the national press at Foxborough? They're going to have to turn down 22 national media requests for this game. It's not the Super Bowl, but Lee, when you got Brady and Belichick and those kind of personalities, you can't keep them out. Lee, you've said it before, and you're a tough guy to win over, Lee. You're not easy. You're not a pushover. You just watched Brady in 2020, up close, personal, leading a moribund franchise, to be kind, Lee.
I love that word.
To a Vince Lombardi trophy. So you're totally invested in number 12, and how can you not be, Lee? How can you not be? I'll tell you one thing, Lee. If they win it this year, he ain't quitting. They're going for number 3. If they win it, he will be back.
Oh,
if they don't win it, I don't know if he'll be back. But if they win it, he'll be back.
I'd be shocked if he's not back next year, no matter what happens. Unless there's some calamity. Bruce, you know, God forbid, Bruce Arians drops dead or something from a heart attack after a loss, a playoff loss. I just can't. Everything looks green light for Brady to return next year. He's even hinted at it. You know, I'm blown away by Brady. I'm absolutely blown away. To me, there's no doubt, absolutely no doubt, he single-handedly turned this franchise around. You know, we kept hearing, they've got talent, they've got talent, they've got talent. They kept losing, they kept losing. It didn't matter who the coach was, whether it was Cutter, whether it was, you name it. Even Bruce Arians comes in here, and what'd he do? He lost the first season. And so he literally changed his franchise around, changed players' attitudes around, kept people in the rear end. They admit it, too. And so he single-handedly changed his franchise around. I always ask, I love this question. There's really no accurate answer to this question, but I love when Pat Kerwin asked, how much money has Tom Brady made people in Tampa Bay?
And, Steve, it's not like, you know, he hasn't hit the ground running. Steve, why are the Bucs 2-0? Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's why. Their defense has been okay. And that might be an overstatement. In terms of our expectations for the Bucs defense, I think they've been disappointing. Both games. 28-10 over the Falcons, middle of the third quarter, at home. You got to put them away. You can't let Matt Ryan direct 2 touchdown drives. And now you're holding on for dear life. That's not supposed to happen. What the heck does Matt Ryan have around him? He's got no running game. The O-line's no good. You know, he's got a receiver and a half. Pitts looks okay. He's got Ridley. No Julio Jones. Tom Brady, Steve, is the reason.
reason the Bucks are 2-0 and the reason I think they're going to beat the Rams on Sunday. This guy's driven, and I think the Rams have underachieved a little, even though they're 2-0. They haven't played lights out. They had to hold on last week, and their defense ain't playing that great either. So here comes Brady. He's all psyched up. Steve, friends and family all over the place in L.A. He's going to get the job done on Sunday.
Ira, look, we're heading out of here. Fans are excited. This is a big turning point kind of a game, especially if the Panthers win tonight to go 3-0. What do we need to know heading into this weekend, Sage?
There's one big takeaway going into this weekend. You got to be a big storm Sunday afternoon. Game starts about 4:25. I'll probably roll in 3:30, quarter to 4. Little meet and greet. I don't know where I'm sitting. I don't know who else is showing up, but I'm going to be there. And Tom Brady is going to be 2,200 miles away, more importantly, ready to rip that vulnerable Rams defense. So I'm looking forward to seeing all my people from Buck Nation. Can't wait for Sunday. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, your first stop has to be BillCurryFord.com. It is a tremendous operation 1 mile north of the stadium, the east side of Dale Mabry, where you will be greeted by General Manager Sean Sullivan, who will find a way, regardless of your financial situation, to satisfy your needs about a vehicle. He'll work with you, and you will be amazed at his flexibility. They've got a great inventory, and it'll be your first stop, and it will likely be your last stop in looking for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com.